Such a blessing to be here this morning and see so many good friends. I had a welcome first thing with Miss Patterson met me in the parking lot, and just it's old home time. We got to work together for several years, and so many students, athletes, coaches. Just praise God for each one of you and the influence that you as teachers and coaches and have had with students, and how powerful that is. Thank you for letting me be here. I want to share with you a testimony. Victory, victory, victory. I'm excited to be representing the local camp of our International Gideons. And thank you for your past support as church members. And a special thanks to our pastor, Kevin Shelton. Just praise God for you and the ministry you have here. And it is a Pastor Appreciation Month, and you are on so many hearts. Thank you. This testimony is about a suicidal veteran who finds divine victory and divine hope. His name's Ray Doherty, 52-year-old Army war veteran addicted to prescription medication for post-traumatic stress disorder, and he was abusing alcohol. He felt he had no future. He just wanted everything to end. He borrowed a friend's pistol to go to a firing range, which could help take his mind off of his misery and wanting to end his life. He didn't keep a gun in his own house because he was afraid that he would be tempted to commit suicide. Ray had lost some dear friends to suicide that were also war veterans, and he saw the anguish it caused the family and friends who were left with sadness and sorrow and regrets that they didn't do something to prevent the suicide. But on Ray's way to the firing range, he stopped at a motel parking lot, went to the office and got a room, went to the room and put a bullet into the handgun. It'd be so easy to end his misery. He had no hope. But something drew his eyes to a book that was open on the nightstand. It was a Bible that had been placed there by the Gideons. It was open to Matthew 4:19. Ray's eyes were drawn and focused on Jesus' words, "Follow me." Ray read God's word with a heart that was so desperate for hope than he had ever had before. Reading Matthew 4:19 and 20. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him, followed Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicted Ray of his sinful brokenness and urgent need for salvation in Jesus Christ. There, in that motel room, Ray asked Jesus to be his Savior and Lord. It changed his life. He describes it as if God reached down and pulled him out of sin's sewage, kept him from drowning, and put him in God's lifeboat that was so glorious and marvelous. Ray found a church and experienced his first worship service as a child of God. The pastor helped disciple Ray and led Ray to Christ-based help for addiction and drug abuse. After his salvation and joining the church, Ray advanced in his employment in the telecommunication company. He joined the area Gideons, uses his farm for a retreat for fellow veterans who suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. Now when Ray distributes scriptures, he tells people, I have a wonderful gift for you. It's more than a divine GPS. It's more than a divine global positioning system. Because Ray is reminded of what a single copy of God's Word can do. There is life more abundant in Jesus Christ and following Him in our church and reading our scripture and growing to be more like Christ. Now Ray is a strong warrior in God's holy army. Isaiah 55 reminds us, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. The Gideons International is an association of business and professional men who band together to promote the gospel of God. We try to be a missionary arm for our local churches. The International Gideons is in 200 different countries, distributing scripture in over 100 different languages. 2 billion copies of God's Word have been distributed in the last 100 years. 94.5 million copies of God's Word were distributed last year. The Gideons in our area distribute scriptures to motels, hotels. Veterans at Veterans Day celebrations, police officers, firefighters, first responders, public school fifth graders. I think every school lets us participate in this area. To high school seniors. It's such a blessing for me to be able to give a high school senior a New Testament. And some of them will allow us time to give a testimony and how to receive Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I wasn't able to do that when I worked, when I was at school. We also distribute New Testaments to citizens who attend the Hamilton County Fair. The wives of the Gideons help us distribute scriptures in doctor's offices, hospitals, nursing homes, other care facilities, and to graduating nurses. Every dollar that is donated to the International Gideons is spent for the printing and shipping cost of scriptures only. It's not covered any kind of cost in any other way. I'm here today to ask you to support the Gideons, to consider it in 2 ways. First, to pray. Pray that the Gideons will bring God glory in all we do, especially as we distribute His Word and we witness to the salvation of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Also consider that God will grant us the courage to care and to share His greatness and His love and the wondrous works God has done in our own individual lives. Pray that the Holy Spirit will convict those that we witness to that they do need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That no matter how much they seek happiness and joy and success, the world doesn't offer peace and eternal life. Eternity is a long time. We try to guide those who we witness to read scripture and to a church in the neighborhood so that they can grow, a church that they can be in and be a part of. We just pray that you'll support that in prayer too. Just prayerfully pray that you could support the Gideons financially. We are going to take a donation, thanks to the pastor, at the end of the service. And you can make a donation with cash or check. The greeter was so kind to give out a brochure about the Gideons today, and it has a tear-off on the front that you can put credit card information, check information, and an envelope in the back that you can make donations anytime, or you can use a credit card and make a monthly donation, become a friend of the Gideon, and get information with Gideons. On the back of the brochure, there's also an app and a website listed that you can make contributions also. I didn't mention students. Our Gideons also train youth ministers into using a life book, which is done by high school students, junior high students. It has questions and interesting things that youth are involved in and have questions about, and it leads them to salvation in Jesus Christ in the back of the life book. There's also on the table at the entry some cards for special occasions. This is for praying for someone, that you can send them a card, and in that card you can make a contribution to the International Gideons. I just thank you for the time and leave you with a scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Thank you so much.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 20. God gave me this message early last week. And I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I don't look at my calendar. But when I did and I seen the Gideons were going to be here, this kind of fortified what the message is this morning. So if you would, while you're going to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, understand this, that the whole purpose of this meeting this morning, from start to end, is to let you know that Jesus wants to save you prior to you leaving this earth. I was sitting at home earlier this week and I was thinking about some of the questions that I'd been asked throughout the week. I get asked a lot of different questions. I get asked post-millennial, pre-millennial, how about the dinosaurs? Why did the priest garment consist of no wool and cotton mix? Right? What about homosexuality? What about can I sleep with my wife or my girlfriend before we get married? Some tough questions. But then I started thinking about how the scripture is. You know what's amazing? The real tough stuff, the real hard stuff, the real stuff that's important, the stuff that will determine whether you're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell is very simple. And you can wonder why God put some other stuff in the scriptures and say, man, God, why did you want it that way? Why did you want the priest to wear this? Why did you want, you know, marriage to be this way? All I do know is God's sovereign, and He's a Father, and He makes the rules. And as a child, I'll go by them. But that's not what we're talking about today. We could talk about those. I'll try to answer every question you got when I can. But what we want to solve is the biggest issue you got going on. Where are you going to spend eternity? They sung a beautiful song at the end of closes, the old rugged cross. Jesus died for you on that cross that you might have eternal life. There's a man here this morning representing the Gideons, and they're trying to put Bibles in the hands of every person they can where they can find Jesus Christ and make Him the Lord of their life before they leave this earth. That's their whole purpose. That's the whole purpose. And this morning when I came to this church, my whole purpose, I want to give you something this morning. This is the greatest gift that I can give you. This is the greatest work I'll ever do as a preacher of the gospel. I'm going to put you in front of the truth that's going to happen to every person in this room. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to accept Christ. And I won't have to raise my voice or lower my voice or anything. I'm going to give you the solemn truth as God's Word. This is Revelations chapter 20, verse 11, and it hasn't happened yet, but it will. This event will absolutely happen. And God, like a good father, like a good friend, like a good doctor, like a good lawyer, like anybody who would give you solemn information, even though it would hurt you, would rather you know the truth than you to pass out of this life without it. Can I go just a little further than that? If you go to the hospital today and you got a little pain here, a little situation there, and they take a picture of it and it finds out that you've got cancer or you've got some kind of debilitating disease, they're going to come in the room and they're absolutely going to tell you what's wrong and what's going to have to happen. They're going to probably say something like, you're probably going to have to start doing chemotherapy or radiation. And your heart's going to sink, and you're going to be frustrated, and your head's going to spin, and you're going to wonder why. But you know what? You're not going to say to that doctor, I'm mad at you because you told me what I have and what I need to do. So I'm going to be a good pastor today. I'm going to share with you what's going to happen if you don't get saved. If you don't get saved this morning, if you're not saved, and you go out of this life, by your last breath, this is what's going to happen. Absolutely, no doubt about it. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. That's Jesus. Jesus sits on the great white throne judgment seat. You say, man, why does he get to sit on the great white throne judgment? Because his way to heaven is the only way that matters. His evidence is all that matters. His righteousness is all that matters. Not your righteousness. His offering, his sacrifice, is the only thing accepted at his seat. If you don't have his sacrifice, his blood, his righteousness, then he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You'll be fleeing from the thing that God's been offering you your whole life. And you'll have to flee this day. The Bible says, they tried to flee from the face of the one who sat at the white throne judgment. See, you dismiss God, you've rejected God, you've rebelled against God your whole life, and at the very end, you'll try to run for Him, and you'll try to find another place, and there is no place for you to go. But there is a place today. There's an altar here. There's a place for you to come, fall on your face, and say, God, I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me. Forgive me of my wickedness. Forgive me of my sin, and be the Lord of my life. Create in me a new heart, and change my direction. I want to be a new creature in Christ. That means I want the old man to pass away, and I want, behold, all things to become new. When you get saved, people will say stuff like this to you. What happened? Why are you so much different? You talk different. You act different. You seem different. That's a fact. That's not me adding to it. People will ask you, what's happened to you? Has anybody ever asked you, what happened since you've been saved? Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. I want you to hear this, and I want you to hear this right to clear. I want you to hear it and be understand. I'm not going to make a big emotional plea with you. I'm going to tell you this. Great and small. Rich people and poor people. Everywhere in between. Famous people and the most person that was never known by anybody will stand at this judgment seat. If you're looking to get into heaven any other way except through Jesus Christ, You're going to stand at this great white throne judgment, and you're going to see people there that were very influential. There are going to be presidents there, kings there, actors there. I'm talking about some of the most influential people in the world who said there was no God, who curse God and reject God. They will be on their face before God, asking and pleading and praying for mercy, but it's too late. And I'm telling you, friend, and I mean that this morning, friend, you'll be there if you're not saved. You'll be there. And you'll say things like, I went to church. I was raised in church. I had a godly family. I went to youth group. I heard the message. All that's good. It's good stuff. But it's not great unless you accept Jesus Christ. Unless He is the reason you go to youth group. He's the reason we come to church. He's the reason we sing. He's the reason we praise. I'm telling you this, not because it's easy. I have easy messages. I've got messages where you sit there and you go, man, he's a great preacher. But I know there are going to be some of you who reject God, and I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that I love you enough to tell you the truth. And if you pass off into eternity, I don't want you to be able to look at me and say, Pastor, you didn't love me enough to tell me the truth. You preached good stuff to me. You made me feel good, but you wouldn't tell me there was a day coming that I'd have to stand and give an account for my life and be cast off into eternity. I love you that much. I would rather you walk out of this room and hate me for telling you the truth than to love me because I keep giving you sugar-coated, cotton candy, fluffy messages that'll never change your heart from sin. You need Jesus, and you need Him faster than you know. Some of you are sitting here right now and you think you've got so much time ahead of you. You might not. You say, this is old hellfire and brimstone preaching, and you're trying to scare us into salvation. I wished I could. I'm trying to tell you the truth. There is a day coming. This has not happened yet, but it will happen because God is not a liar. He's not a man that He should lie. This day is coming. Said he, and they opened up the book. The books were open, and other books were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Your life will be spread out before God, and He will look at it. And you will be judged according to your life. He's keeping good record. He said, what's the other books? I believe with all my heart this book, this little book right here will be there. The Bible will be there. And somebody said, well, I got a revelation. I got a new word. I got this new thing. No, you did not. God gave us the Bible. And you know what? He gave us this opportunity to know the playbook of life from beginning to end, how it was all going to go. And you know what? He presented it. When somebody comes to me and says, I got something new out of the Word of God. It's something new. It's different. I look at them and say, absolutely not. God is not going to change the book in the fourth quarter of life. It's never going to happen. This book is sovereign and it's true. And there's everything in it for you to have eternal life. And I'll go a little step further. There's everything in here for you to have a good life. If you want a terrible life, live everything opposite of this book. You want a good life, you do everything this book says to the best of your ability, and you'll have a good life. I've tried it. I've tried it both ways. Right up to the age of 30, I tried this. My way, I rejected everything this book had to say, and my life was straight garbage. I was mad, bitter, angry, frustrated, hurt, scared, anxious, everything. And I wondered why until I received Christ. And when I received Christ and studied His Word, I found that everything in this book is true. And if you live by it, your life will be better. I did not say easy, but I did say better. Two different words. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and the hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen, everybody that's not saved will stand before this great white throne judgment. That means if you've never believed and put your trust in faith and repented, you will stand at this judgment seat. If you die before this judgment seat, you'll be pulled out of hell. If you die during this, you will be pulled up from wherever you died at. And you will stand before this great white throne judgment. And God will say the most scariest words He's ever said to anybody. He will say these words out of His mouth. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You know what He's talking about? He's talking about your spiritual man. It's never been birthed. When you get born again, He gives you a name. And He writes it down in glory. And that way He can say, I know you. Enter in my good and faithful servant. But instead, if you do not get saved, He says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I want you to hear this. Young people and adults where you're 30, 40, I want you to hear this. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You that loved your sin more than you loved me. I want you to hear that again. You that loved your sin more than you loved me. I know exactly what He means when He says that, because there was a time in my life that I loved my sin more than I loved God. There's a thing in this room, everybody in here has. You have a sin that you're predisposed to. You love to do it. God hates it. And when you get saved, you hate it. If you don't get saved, you make excuses for it. You make excuses for it. And you say, God was wrong, and I reject what God says about it. And you know what? If you keep on going down that path, He will stand before you one day and say, you worker of iniquity, you loved your sin more than you loved me. And He will call you by your sin, and He will push you into eternity and the second death. So, preach, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this morning? Don't you want a big church? Don't you want a big attendance? Don't you count and see how many people are here? Yeah, but guess what? I tell you this, we're all going into eternity. And I'm going to stand before God for every message I preach. And I'm not going to stand before God and say, man, we had 200 people, but I wouldn't tell them the truth. I was more worried if they were going to come back next service or next Sunday more than I was worried about where they were going to spend eternity. I don't love your money, and I don't love your personality and your person being here as much as I am concerned about where your soul spends eternity. And if you never come back, I would like you to be able to say, that man told me the truth. He told me the truth, and he didn't care about what we were going to think about him or say about him and tell how wrong he was. I don't want to be right or wrong. I just want to be right by what this Word says. I'm about done preaching, and I know how hard this is for some of you to hear this morning. But this is the truth. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I've often wondered why God opens the book of life when He knows the people that are at the judgment seat are not written in it. God knows everything, so why in the world would He open the book to show you that you're not in the book? I believe He does it to let you know that there was plenty of time and opportunity for you to be written in the book. There was plenty of space for you. There was plenty of opportunity for you. And I'm just going to be real, and I don't want to be overdramatic here, but I want to say this to you. You're sitting in this service this morning, not by accident. This service, this one. He'll open up the Lamb's Book of Life, and He'd said, look, remember that day that your pastor told you about the great white throne judgment? I could have wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you sat there again. He told you the truth. Somebody else has told you the truth, and somebody after me will come and tell you the truth. But you never accepted it. You came to church, but you never came to me. You came to youth group, but you never came to me. You came to Awana, but you never came to me. You came to Sunday school, but you never came to me. Listen. Everything we do here at this church is predicated. It all hangs on one thing. Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sins. Do you know Him? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? If you do not, during this altar call, you need to find yourself a place on this altar somewhere. Don't wait for another human being to come to you. And you need to cry out to God and say, God, I am a sinner. I don't care what sin you are committing. I don't care where you're at with your salvation. I don't care if you've got stuff that you think God will never forgive. God died for every sin that you've ever committed or ever could commit. I'm going to ask Miss Betsy to come. I'm going to ask you to stand. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask every believer in here, if you're a believer and you know you're saved, you know you're born again, I want you to pray to yourself right now. I want you to pray for the people that are not saved in this church. And I want you to pray right now and say, God, if there's somebody in here that needs to be saved, they need the same grace and the same mercy and the same salvation I got. Lord, don't let them get through this part of the service without surrendering, please. If you're not saved, my God, stop messing around. Stop wasting time. Stop wasting time and come. Stop saying, well, God this or well, God that. No. Just a fact. If you're not saved, you'll stand in this judgment one day and give an account for your life. Come, friend, come. Come on, come on. Is there anybody in the house that you know that if you died today, that you would stand in this judgment seat? You would stand in this place of judgment. God's not going to make you come. He's just going to keep knocking on your heart's door until you do come. He's just going to keep knocking on your heart's door until you come. Sis, can I pray with you? What do you need? Yes. Okay, awesome. Awesome. We'll let you do that, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this lady. Lord, we just pray that you let her be a great member of this church. Lord, we thank you for the security that she has in your